Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, February 1st, 2017. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up in the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando's stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the Dad Show, I'm talking with John Nidzwicki about his dopey trip to Walt Disney World. Welcome back to the Dad Show, John.
Great to be here again, Aaron.
So this was a dopey trip, marathon weekend, and you were there to try and catch them all. Even though you came home one short, you had a week-long vacation. Talk to me a little bit about what goes into planning a vacation in which you're going to run four distance races in 4 days.
Sure. So planning the trip out, a little different than kind of any of our other trips that we've gone on before. With having the race each day and a day of the expo, we kind of try to plan everything around there, trying to get the most out of the trip. So having some time in the park each day, but balancing that with rest. So it's kind of, okay, what days do I need to be home extra early? Where do I think I'm going to need to rest? And kind of planning around that so that the kids could still have time in the park. And if I had to leave, I could go rest, or if we all went back, kind of a mix of that in there. So it was interesting kind of trying to plan all of that out.
Sure, sure. And I assume that you kind of had this one on the agenda, you know, close to a year out. You had to have just, you know, in order to have gotten registered for all those races.
Oh, yeah, we've been planning this one for a bit of a while. And, you know, like I said, a little over a year out, kind of decided I wanted to do it. You know, and then, yeah, registering is almost a year out anyway on itself. So we kind of put a lot of thought into this one of trying to figure out general idea. And then when it came time to actually, you know, make some reservations and everything else, that, you know, we really got down to figuring out an attack plan.
All right. Well, let's talk about that attack plan then. You know, what kinds of things, first of all, did the fact that you were running all these races impact where you decided to stay?
Yes and no. I mean, it didn't directly have an impact. We actually stayed offsite in my in-laws' timeshare.
Interesting.
For multiple reasons. One, because, you know, we could, but also other than transportation to the races, it actually worked really well because we had a little more room there. For everyone on around, we had the full kitchen, so it was actually nice to be able to come back and kind of cook our own meals before, especially some of the big races. You know, it's easier to be able to go and cook my own food and have exactly what I want, exactly how much I want, as opposed to trying to eat out somewhere or eat something else, you know, anywhere else. It was easier to plan, look, this is what we'll bring with us, this is what we'll buy at the grocery store, and have meals planned that way. So it was nice to kind of be able to get away there. The only downside of that was the having to drive myself in to all the races.
Right, right. And that is I wanted to follow up on, because, you know, that's been the one thing that we've heard, you know, consistently from people, is that whether they were there for the races or not, it seemed this year, even more than previous years, the road closures and things really kind of played havoc with transportation all around Walt Disney World pretty much all week.
Yeah, I mean, a combination of a little bit of the construction and some of the closures, not too many closures other than the half and the full, other than around the race. Because, I mean, the 5K and 10K, they're just around Epcot.
Right.
They're kind of very localized, and those are the shorter races, so they open back up quicker. The half with being rained out didn't really have a lot of problems. The full marathon is what causes your most problems. And we actually had pretty good luck with that. You know, I'm one of those who's worried, so I go in extra early to make sure I'm in past any road closures and to make sure I get parking there, because if the parking at Epcot fills up, they send you to Magic Kingdom, and then you got to ride the monorail back, and then do you make it in time?
Right.
But when my wife came in marathon day, which is the worst of the days, she actually made it in pretty easy. It was kind of just getting to the Epcot exit that was the problem. Okay. And then it opened back up. The worst she had was meeting me in Animal Kingdom to kind of give me some food and some extra of my noon that I drink on my runs. The bus ride, she said, back to Epcot was the worst. It took her about an hour to get there. And they went out, and part of it, they just were in a standstill. And actually, from running the race, I could actually see a couple times where it was just road solid backed up traffic that did not move at all. So
right,
that yeah. one seemed pretty bad. I think it was a combination of just the normal marathon closure, but then, you know, the little bits of construction around Hollywood Studios and this, that, and the other, I think was a nice little perfect storm of not movement there.
Right, right. Well, I want to talk a little bit more specifically about, you know, the race piece in just a minute. But before we get to that, you know, you've talked about planning ahead, knowing that you were kind of accommodating the fact you were going to be running these races. So, you know, you were visiting Walt Disney World for a full week. What were the things on, you know, the family must-do agenda for this particular trip?
Sure. So a couple of things that are always high on us. Obviously, we have kids, so Magic Kingdom, we have young little kids. They love Magic Kingdom the most. But even there, there's a couple things that are like that we have to hit. One, and first and foremost with my daughter, who's her current character she's obsessed with, is Alice. And that part of that comes from the fact of she's had some really, really great interactions
sure.
with Alice over the past couple of trips. So, I mean, there was two different days we went to Magic Kingdom and rope drop Alice. And it's not the first time we've done that where we get in for the opening and that's where she wants to go. She wants to go back and she wants to sit down there till the 20 after the hour when Alice first comes out so she can see her first that day. So that's kind of my daughter
for the way she starts her trip
is seeing Alice and the trolley show in Magic Kingdom as well. So she loves to watch that. And there are several times during the trip, short trip we had, several times watching it, each stop down Main Street all the way down to the actual railroad station. We did that on three different occasions. But she has now three different trolley show friends. The first day she made friends with Alex and talked to her about Alice, and that was an interesting conversation. And then she made friends with Chrissy and another one of the other days, so which was really great because one of the trolley shows was then in the Festival Fantasy Parade is the other must do for my daughter. So my daughter is it's the shows and stuff. That's her must do. Like she likes some of the rides, you know, she loves Little Mermaids, but for her it's, you know, she wants to meet Alice, she wants to see the trolley show, and she wants to see the Festival Fantasy Parade.
Excellent. All right. All right.
And then for my son, his biggest things are Buzz because he's obsessed with Toy Story and the Finding Nemo show at Animal Kingdom. Just every single time he just lights up every time we watch that.
All right. So you got your basic plan then it sounds like. Let's kind of talk about the experiences you had at the parks. You mentioned to me before we started recording that, you know, even with the races and everything, you tried to spend, you know, part of at least every day in the parks. So we'll talk, you know, sort of park by park, maybe aggregate together, you know, multiple trips into an individual park. But, you know, what things kind of stood out to you? And why don't we get started with Animal Kingdom and your, you know, son's favorite show there. What were the things in this particular trip that kind of stood out at Animal Kingdom?
So one of the things that stood out most there, we actually saw the bird show that they have there.
The Flights of Wonder show.
Flights of Wonder, yeah.
Fairly recent update.
Yeah, so that was the first time we've watched that in a while. The first time my daughter's really been interested in seeing it. We're kind of just walking by and she's like, oh, there's a guy with a bird out front. Ooh, can we go see that? So we got to see that, which was pretty fun. For the first time in a long time. I've seen it before, but the first time with her, she really enjoyed that. They ended up being pretty down close up front. And then afterwards, it was kind of cool. They were training one of the new birds. So afterwards, if you wanted to, you could stay there while they practice with one of the birds, having people in there as opposed to having, you know, no one when they train them. So that was kind of a cool, interesting thing that my daughter really likes. She's like, we got to help teach the bird things.
Oh, cool.
Like, well, you sat there, but yeah, you got to help them.
Hey, she sat there and, you know, let it not attack her.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, like I said, Finding Nemo was my son's favorite. And so we got fast passes for that. And they like to sit right down front, couple rows back, you know, to the right side in that front little section right next to where the stage comes out down the middle. And I say it because the past three times we've gone to that show, we've sat in that same spot because there's a couple of reserved rows. But if you're in with the fast passes, there's some rows right in front of them that aren't reserved.
Okay.
And so right there, and I have some pictures of my son right at the very end when they're kind of doing their bows, they kind of come up and everything. Dory stopped right next to him. So he was sitting with my wife directly close to stage, and Dory stopped and looked down at him and literally like this huge smile on his face with his hands on like the side of his cheeks, like he's home alone.
Oh, wow.
And then when Dory went away, like the hands in front of the fat face, like, oh my God, what just happened? Like literally that's what it was. Like I managed to grab pictures of it when she did that, that it was just right there. It was the best thing in the world to him. Like he just loves watching it, loves the songs, but like Dory stopped and saw him. Like, I mean, he was freaking out over that. So that was just a really great moment for a show that they always enjoy anyway.
Yeah. I mean, those are some of my favorite memories of Walt Disney World from when my kids were really little. Like that is those, you know, people talk all the time about how, you know, the kid will never remember this or that, but I know I'll remember, right? And that look
exactly.
of just, you know, total amazement and being absorbed in the experience on the kid's face is priceless.
Yeah, that was, I mean, it was a special moment. Like he always, you know, gets excited and will jump a little bit and everything else. But like that was just something beyond what happened any other times we've seen. And like I said, he may not remember, but that's one I'll always remember.
Yeah. Anything else about Animal Kingdom that stood out this particular trip?
Not in general. I mean, we did some of the normal things, like we went on the safari and had a pretty good time there, got to see some of the animals. My daughter went back to the Rafiki Planet Watch for a little bit, but my son fell asleep right before we got up there. So it was kind of like, I'll just sit here with him. You know, that was after fucking like, I'm just going to sit and take a break. You guys can go back there. So I didn't really see what went on there, but she earned another one of her badges in the Wilderness Explorer book. Like, she's suddenly just obsessed with that. She got one, and now she's like, every time I go back, I gotta get more. Gotta get them all. So that's something that'll definitely be used a lot in any upcoming trips for her.
Right. All right. Sounds good. So I guess we'll move on then from Animal Kingdom to maybe the other park, sort of over towards that side of the park, and talk about your experiences at Disney's Hollywood Studios on this particular trip.
So this particular trip, Hollywood Studios, I only spent a little bit with my family. So this was the day of the 10K. We went into Hollywood Studios afterwards, again, shorter race. We went in and we actually got to meet Moana, which my daughter was super, super excited about. So there's one day my wife and her went out and had a girls' day to go see the movie, and she's been obsessed with it and listening to the soundtrack nonstop. My son knows the music very well. He hasn't seen the movie, but he knows who it is, and he knows he likes Moana. He knows he likes Maui. So we had to go see them. So they actually colored pictures before we even left to take with them to give to her. So that was, my daughter had a really good experience with her. My son at first didn't want to go up, you know, first thing in the morning, he was not, you know, fully awake, or I don't know. He didn't really want to go up yet. Eventually the person he was just talking to, the, you know, handler on the side, and she went up with her then to go see Moana. Gave her picture, but then asked for the picture back because he didn't want to give up his Maui picture.
Okay.
Now that was a fun little experience there.
Right. And that's a, you know, timely new addition at Hollywood Studios. It might be helpful to people to learn, you know, where they would find Moana at Hollywood Studios.
So that's back in One Man's Dream. We went back in through there to meet her.
Okay.
Which was also kind of fun because on the way out, my son just started looking at all everything. He's like, ooh, castle, all the little models. He absolutely loved my wife. Right. Well, if it rains, I guess I know I can always bring him in here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's great that he's starting to react to those things and kind of has a sense of recognition for them too, right?
Yeah, so it was back in there, a nice little space. They pumped the heat up a little bit. It was a little warmer back in there than it had been anywhere else. Which was, you know, a little touch. They had a little waterfall and everything else projected on the wall, which was kind of cool. So it was a nice little tiny space they have for her in there.
Yeah, nice. It's nice that they've gotten that ready quickly and that they've done a little extra with the theming. You know, they could have just stuck her in there on a white wall, but sounds like they've done a little extra. So that's good to hear.
And then actually what happened that day was I was a part of a Cigna blogger meetup that day. which oddly enough, I had to go to the Grand Floridian to then come back to Hollywood Studios with them. So that was fun. I had to take a bus to the Grand Floridian, take a bus back over there. But I got to do like a little Amazing Race style scavenger hunt in Hollywood Studios. So it was kind of funny. I actually crossed paths with my family in the middle of doing some of the stuff, but it wasn't actually spending the day with them. So that was a little bit of fun there. With Cigna. And then I met back up with them afterwards and got to go see Kylo Ren, which in the Visa cardholder line, kind of skipped through the short line. Right. And it was funny. I got to experience what my wife had told me I had missed, which was him seeing Kylo Ren, pointing at his shirt and going, "Not Darth Vader," which Kylo Ren was very fond of being told he was not Darth Vader.
Okay. Okay. Now, see, I almost would have thought that he would have been, you know, mildly insulted, right? Like,
oh yeah, he remember the first time my son did that to him, he told him to get out. It's like, just pointed to the door. But he asked my son if he wanted to learn the powers of the dark side, and he shook his head yes. So okay. You know, so the Jedi costume my wife got him for Christmas is probably not going to be quite the right one he needs.
Well, you know, it's easier to dye white black than to bleach the black white, so
yeah.
All right, so anything Hollywood Studios, you know, other than the character experiences and things that stood out in this particular trip?
Not particularly. Like I said, for myself, I kind of did the blogger meetup for the portion of the day right there. So it was a late start. And then that was the day before the half. So when we were there, so we left early to be able to have dinner at home and prep for the half, of course.
Right.
Thinking it ended up getting canceled right before bedtime. So,
yeah,
you know, we left early and didn't really necessarily need to. So,
okay. Well, in that case, let's head on over to Epcot and talk a little bit about any experiences that you had, you know, in Epcot and with the attractions there.
So actually Epcot is the one park I did not do with my family. So they did that the day of the full marathon, knowing I would finish up there. Okay. So my experience with Epcot was during the 5K, the 10K, and the full marathon.
All right. That was how I saw it. You kind of saw it in passing.
Yeah. I kind of got to run through it and see it that way, but didn't really do much with Epcot, which is a little sad because we just didn't – that was the day it made the most sense for them to go there, which Epcot is one of the parks I enjoy a lot. So I didn't really get to do much of that this time. So next time we go, I'll be sure to. But that was one of the ones that unfortunately I got to see only in running through it.
All right. All right. Well, that leaves us with one park remaining. And obviously you've got young kids. I'm going to guess that, you spent probably, you know, a number of days, at least part of the time in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. So we spent a couple of days there. So we drove down overnight. So the first day we basically spent, up through about dinner time in Magic Kingdom, when we were there. And then we spent part of the next day there before the expo. And then a couple of other days, Saturday into the half, we were in the Magic Kingdom. And then on Monday, the day before we left, was full day Magic Kingdom. So we spent a couple of days there, some half days, some full days. So, you know, the things that stood out to me most, I kind of already mentioned a little bit, you know, meeting Alice was really great. So, you know, when the half was canceled, they had been planning to do Magic Kingdom anyway. So I can't, so like, I'll come with you. I'll spend a little bit of time, and I actually cut out pretty early right after lunch to go back and rest. And then I came back and picked them up later. But I kind of got, you know, a lot of people were running anyway, even though the race was canceled. I decided to take it aside to like rest and spend some time with my family. And I actually kind of got the perfect thing that made, you know, told me I made the right decision. So as I mentioned, my daughter likes to rope drop Alice. So that's of course what we did, on that Saturday.
Right.
Went in, saw Alice, and it was kind of just a little drippy. So they had her in a rainy spot, which is tucked around behind right beside Cheshire Cafe. So right near where she normally is, but there's a little back entrance that goes into the back there that has a roof, and they put her in there when it's raining. So it was kind of cool because not a lot of people saw her there, so not a lot of people were in line. And my kids actually spent about 20 minutes playing with Alice, just playing with her because there was no one else in line. So she's like, "Oh, awesome. You guys want to – like we saw her, we left, and we went to go do something else, and she was still there. So we went back, and there was no one in line. So they just played with her for a while. They went over to the Cheshire Cafe and kind of asked – Alice asked if they had candy, which they didn't. So they stole a bunch of sugar packets, picked up some sticks, dipped the sticks in water, rolled them in the sugar, and tried to make their own candy that way. Thankfully, the two-year-old didn't try and eat the candy, which was my biggest worry, but they spent time making candy. They made faces at people out of the window. I mean, they just had a good old time. They literally got to play with Alice for 20 minutes because no one else was there. And, you know, she had nothing else to do. So they had an amazing, amazing time doing that.
That sounds absolutely terrific. They had basically a private audience with Alice.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, one other person came at one point. They stepped aside and then they came back and it was like, okay, there's still no one else here. So let's keep playing. So, I mean, they had a grand old time with that. Like I said, we met her on more than one occasion, but that one really stood out for me on that Saturday. And like I said, that was my sign that I made the right decision by spending time with my family instead of going and running in the rain on my own and saving my energy that way. So right. That was a fantastic time. As I mentioned, she made a couple friends with the trolley show people, which was great. And the one day when we were there on the last Monday, she made friends with one of the trolley show who was then also in the Festival Fantasy Parade. And when she saw us on the route, she sent over Chip over to us.
Oh, he came over
and I got a little video clip of my son giving him a hug, giving him a kiss right on the nose. I mean, just, and then we had to hold him back so we didn't run out on the parade with him. But I mean, it was kind of like a little magic of just, hey, look, we watched them on the trolley show. And when you're down by the train station, afterwards they'll come over and they'll say hi. So you can talk to him and the kids talk to him and they just, you know, she talked to him for like 5-10 minutes and everything. Actually, twice that day we watched the show. So the second time they talked for me even longer. So, I mean, she made friends with them. So when they saw them later that day, they said, hey, you know, we'll send, hey, here, go say hi to them. That's a friend of mine over there. So, I mean, it was kind of that little self-made magic just by the kids wanting to, you know, talk to the people who they liked. So.
Sure. That's great. So we've talked a lot about parks and you know, various park interactions. We haven't really talked about food or dining at all. Now, clearly you were staying in the rental home. So you did, and you've already referenced a little bit, you know, doing some of your own cooking back at the rental home. Any, you know, food experiences of any sort at in the parks or in the Disney resorts that stood out on this particular trip?
So we stuck mostly to quick service for a lot of our meals when we were in the park. Just because it's easy with the kids and we can split meals and we have annual passes. And so there's a couple quick services where they actually give you the discount, one of which is Pecos Bill, which we really enjoy because my son just loves that food as well. And so does my daughter. So we would get my wife and I would each get a fajita platter. And my 2.5-year-old son, you know, you get beef and you get chicken. He would eat both of our chicken helpings from that adult fajita platter. And that literally he would just eat all of that. And then he'd have a little bit of something like an applesauce squeeze. But I mean, he was the happiest kid in the world just to give him a plate full of meat and an applesauce squeeze. And he was happy.
And hey, he's a Diz dad already. Just give him a plate full of meat. You know,
and with that 20% off, you know, that we got there as well with the annual pass that they're giving it right now was, you know, would save me and all my daughter's meal. So it actually, you know, worked out really nicely. And that's one that we kind of keep going back to just because they both like it a lot. You know, we were actually disappointed over the summer when we went there and they had changed the menu and they no longer had tacos at all. But then the fajitas were really good because our kids love tacos. Like Taco Tuesday is a thing in our house. You know, almost every week we have tacos for one of the meals because they both just love them. And again, there he eats a plate full of meat with cheese. But the fajitas is something that he also ends up loving. So it works out. Even the new menu, then when they changed it, still works out pretty well for us.
Right, right.
Other meal-wise, we actually ate lunch at Be Our Guests. One day we kind of just walked up at 11 when they were opening, said, hey, do you happen to have, you know, to get us in there? And like, you know, if you can go now, we can. And we're like, we're happy eating right now, and walked right in and got to eat there, which is pretty nice. We've been there a bunch of times for dinner before. We ate there once for lunch before. So my daughter just loves the eating in the Beast Castle. So, food there was quite good as well. And the one big meal we did is we ate at Raglan Road down in Disney Springs. That was my choice for my celebratory dinner after the marathon.
Okay.
So after the marathon, I hobbled my way down there with my family to have some Guinness and some, you know, what did I have? I think I had the bangers and booze. So, you know, I had some Guinness sausage with some Guinness on the side.
Yeah, some Guinness with your Guinness.
I kind of try to do it up Diz Dad style there. So.
sounds terrific.
The other food, I guess the main food thing in the park is our family tradition of 10 o'clock ice cream, which we keep alive, which the very first day also in true Diz Dad's tradition was a Dole Whip. And both of my kids absolutely love it. The only problem is, you know, if I have to share with them, they want to eat a lot of it. So, but started with a Dole Whip. So we started strong, But that's our little family tradition. I've talked about one of the other podcasts was right, for traditions right. is our 10 o'clock ice cream. It's a good thing to do on vacation.
I like 10 o'clock ice cream. I'm a firm supporter of 10 o'clock ice cream. So I guess what we really need to talk about now is the marathon pieces itself or really the multiple race piece, because that's the part that I think that we're most interested in. Now we know that, you know, now looking back, right, there was no half marathon, the weather kind of washed that out. But I really think it would be helpful to, you know, hear a little bit about how you prepare and how you plan to run, you know, races on four consecutive evenings or four consecutive early mornings.
Yeah. So that's really, I've heard from a lot of people beforehand and it's true. One of the worst parts about the four consecutive races is the four consecutive Disney early morning. So there's early morning for races and there's Disney early for races. And those kind of four mornings were pretty rough. One of the nice things we had was my sister-in-law along with us, who's in college. So we were able to bring her along because she was still on her winter break. So we brought her along.
Nice. Yeah.
And we had two bedrooms and her bedroom had the two beds. So she got both of the kids. So when it came time for me to go to bed, I could go to bed. I didn't have to worry about the kids. I didn't have to worry about whether they woke up in the middle of the night, you know, and having her there as an extra set of hands. If my wife had to come take me in, you know, for the half and the full to drop me off so they could have the car, didn't have to worry about waking the kids or anything. So we had an extra set of hands there for the kids. So that made the mornings a little easier because that way they were out of the way and I didn't have to worry about waking up. Really, I mean, for preparing, one of the things I can absolutely recommend is the Jeff Galloway plan. So there's some free training plans on the Run Disney website created by Jeff Galloway, who does the Run Walk Run, which is what I use to run, where you do basically run intervals, walk intervals, which rests your legs, but also makes it easier long distance. So, you know, I can concentrate on, look, I only have 30 more seconds of run and then I can take a break. And you basically run 26 miles at 30 seconds at a time or a minute at a time, however you do that. So his plan kind of slowly builds you up to the getting used to running multiple days in a row and getting your body used to that. And then, you know, the key is there's you have to make sure whatever works best for you when you run, but making some of those be morning runs really helps doing a couple mornings in a row that way.
All right. That's a good point. And the having an extra adult with an extra pair of hands, you know, that's a good tip because I think it makes a big difference. If for nothing else, you know, as you were saying, that ability for you to just kind of get up and get going. And if somebody had to, you know, drive you and drop you off for a race or something like that, you didn't have to worry about making any other special arrangements with kids or worse yet, you know, waking them up ridiculously early just so you could toss them in the backseat of the car.
Yeah. Toss them in the car to then take them back out of the car. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, races themselves and anything about these races. I mean, I know you've done Run Disney races before and you've done multiple Run Disney races in one weekend before. But what was maybe unique or stood out to you about this particular set of races?
So, you know, one of the things I love about Run Disney in general is the costumes you see everyone wearing. So, you know, I kind of try to go all out with a couple of my costumes. And you see a lot of people there. So the very for the 5K, you know, since it's a shorter distance, I was like, oh, I can go more of a costume. So I ended up going as Indiana Jones, complete with whip on my side, the bag, the hat, everything.
Very cool. And they didn't give you any trouble about running with a whip?
No, that was the one thing I was worried about going in. I was like, am I going to have to walk this back to the car? But they didn't say anything, so they didn't really care. You know, I guess they didn't consider that, you know, it looks like a weapon, but I guess it's not one of the weapons they were, you know, worried about.
It's not on the list. It's not a sharp or a...
Not like it really could do anything anyway, so...
Okay.
You know, it was a real leather, you know, leather prop whip of Indiana Jones, but it's been wound up in a circle for so long, I doubt it would even straighten all the way out if I needed to, so... wasn't really a concern. Okay. So that was pretty nice. One of the things that was kind of cool was, so I had all four races, you know, lined up. And then the kids are both doing their races. So we did the kid races and we signed them up for Thursday. So it was kind of fun. I got to do my 5K, go back, shower, get changed. And then we took the kids over to the Wild World of Sports for their races. So they did the 100 meter and the 200 meter dash just based off of their ages. And they just had a blast with it too. And they were in costume. My daughter was dressed up as Black Widow and my son as Captain America. And my daughter had a full out costume because we like to go to some of the comic conventions. We go to AwesomeCon up here in DC. And her biggest thing is she wanted to be Black Widow. So for her birthday, she got a really very nice full complete costume. She's like, I want to wear that for my race. I'm like, you sure it's going to be a little hot? That's what you want to do. That's what you can be. So she was the kid in the full on costume for her race as well. And the kid race, actually, that really stood out to me because it was really nicely done. So beforehand, they had just literally bins full of applesauce because it was sponsored by the Go-Go Squeeze applesauce. Right, they had full hoops out for the kids. They had a fun little dance warm-up for the kids ahead of the races, but it also helped just kill the time for the kids while they're waiting around. And they had Carissa, who's actually one of the Run Disney race announcers, who announces the adult races, like at the start and finish line. She was still there for the kids' races. So she did all the 5K and then came over and did the kid race. So it was kind of cool if they treat the kids special like they are. So
yeah, that's great.
That really stood out and was really nice the way they did it there. For the 5K is kind of – for Dopey, you're the only one who's supposed to run for a certain time, whereas it's an untimed race for everyone else. So I didn't really stop for any of the pictures, but there were some really cool ones. So that's one of the other things that's unique about Run Disney is they have the characters out on the course for pictures. Some of the lines can get long, but I mean, they had Minnie Mouse, like they had some of the standard characters like Minnie Mouse, Chip and Dale, Goofy, but they had them in very like special outfits. You know, like Minnie had a dress that I've never seen her in anywhere else before. Things like that. So it was actually a really kind of cool thing seeing them running by, but I stuck to my loop around Epcot and out and done for that one. The 10K again, it sticks around Epcot. So it kind of runs out on the highway and then loops down back around Epcot itself. There I actually stopped for one of my first pictures I've ever done. In my last time racing, I was just so worried about being swept and not making it through the race in time, whatever. I didn't stop for but one picture. And that was, I think, for Fillmore the bus, because there was nobody lying there because he was just, you know, a car prop essentially.
Right.
So I actually stopped because there was Launchpad McQuack and Scrooge McDuck. And kind of my list going in was if Launchpad or Darkwing Duck are there, I'm stopping for them. They were my two characters that sometimes, you know, happen to appear out on like the half marathon and marathon course. So I was like, if I see them, I'm going to stop and I'm going to get my picture and then I'll run as fast as I can. I have to afterwards, but I wanted to stop for them and I was able to hit that early in my 10K. So I kind of got my picture that I wanted to, you know, knocked out of the way on Friday.
Very nice.
So that was the fun little bit to that.
Yeah. And it sounds like you're getting, you know, you've been doing this for a while now. The training is starting to bear some fruit a little bit. And so you're maybe a little less concerned about, you know, being able to maintain your pace. You're able to maybe relax and enjoy the race a little more, it sounds like.
Yeah. So the last time I did Run Disney was in 2014 and it was my first half marathon. I had literally been running for less than a year. So I hated running as a kid. I hated running growing up. I despised when the mile run was for the presidential fitness test in school. I despised that day when that came up. So I kind of found running later in life, basically deciding to start running in order to run a half marathon at Disney. So I kind of got talked into that by my wife and I actually found a love of running there. So I've been running for a lot, you know, since 2013 now. So I've been running for a lot longer. So I kind of have a little more confidence there and know that I can run a little bit better, even though I'm slow. And I like to say I'm a completer, not a competer.
Okay.
That's my way of saying, you know, I'm not fast, but I finished the race. So
right.
I know I'm fast. I know what my speed is and what I can run. And I know that's faster than what I need to run to not be swept. So
which
I kind of just
a really
little
matters.
More comfortable, a little more confidence going in this time around. The other thing I actually didn't mention with the 5K is this is the first time they were giving real medals for the 5K. So they always give medals, but they used to be rubber ones like the kid races.
Yeah, we were actually commenting on that at Walt Disney World. We saw you know, some of the younger kids or some of the kids who had those, and we were remarking on the fact that it was pretty cool that they'd moved to, you know, real medals for the 5K.
Yeah, so it was kind of funny. They used to always be the 5K was a regular t-shirt and a rubber medal. And all the other races, you got, you know, the medal and the tech long sleeve tech shirts for marathon weekend, at least. So you get a tech shirt and a real medal versus a t-shirt and, you know, the rubber medal.
Right.
And they've moved to the real medal for the 5K, but you still get a regular t-shirt as opposed to a tech shirt.
Yeah.
For the 5K. So, but that was a nice little upgrade that they did this year. And I mean, for the 5K, I mean, for what you put into it, it's worth it having that medal. I mean, the rubber medal was still nice because it was still cool, but this, you know, makes it's got a little heft to it now. So
yeah, that's pretty cool. So, you know, I think we've talked about most of the substantive stuff about this trip. Is there anything that you know was important or significant about this trip that you know stands out in your mind, but that we haven't really talked about yet?
Well, I think the only other thing to really I hadn't really talked about much about was the full marathon. So
okay,
that was the hardest thing I've ever done. I have no inclination to do one again anytime soon. eventually I might, if I can lose some weight and do a lot more running, then maybe I'll attempt one again in the future, but not anytime in the near future.
Now, do you not think that your taste for marathons or your sense of marathons might have been adversely affected by it being the third race you ran in 4 days?
I mean, like I said, I kind of took a little easier on Saturday, so it wasn't as bad. And even though it was really unseasonally cold, it was 38 degrees when we were waiting for the race to start. Once you started moving, it wasn't bad.
Right.
But one of the things I have to say is if you can physically finish it, the marathon is an amazing thing to do for all of the king, basically running all four parks, running everything, seeing everything you see in between is really cool. Like I was able to, because my family was still getting ready in the morning when we ran through Magic Kingdom, I actually did a video chat with them. I did a Google Hangout so they could kind of see me as I was running through the park. My daughter's like, it's like you're running. I'm running with you. It's like I'm running with you. So that was a fun little thing. But when you're going through, you're kind of seeing some of the backstage stuff, which for me being a Disney fan, I really liked. One of the coolest thing outside of when you can see characters, that was one of my favorite things on the whole course, was on the portion after Animal Kingdom to Hollywood Studios, is a really long stretch of stuff. They had some old ride items out. So they had one of the subs from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. They had a car from Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. They had one of the Snow White ride cars there. They had like five or six things that were just old ride vehicles that were out. I'm like, and this is something like for me that was like, hey, I'm a Disney fan. Hey, I'm stopping for this. I got to get my picture with this stuff. So to me, that was one of the coolest things of stuff that you don't otherwise see that they just kind of put along the course to, you know, help pass the time. And it was actually really good with Disney. A lot of the people there, you know, running community in general is very friendly, but the Run Disney community itself too was very, very friendly. So it was kind of like you might talk to someone along the way. Like I found a guy who had on his back of a shirt said it was his 99th marathon he was running, and they were all Disney, you know, he's running a Disney race, but it was his 99th marathon he was completing. And I kind of went back and forth with him a couple of times. So I kind of chat with him every time I saw him. There's another person I'd seen one time where basically at the very end of the race, she told me I was her beacon. Because I'd stopped to say hi to her because I liked her costume she had. And she's just like, you are a beacon. Every time I'd see you ahead of me, I'd try to run to catch up to you and hope if you stopped for a walk break or water that I could catch you. And then I just played catch up to you the whole race. So you were kind of pulling me through. I'm like, that's kind of cool. that fun running community, but you get an extra little bit of it with Disney.
Sure. Well, and that's where you get the advantage of being tall. Because my guess is that you kind of stood above you know, the general mass of runners.
Yeah. So that was all. I mean, it was all a lot of fun. I got to say my least favorite part of all the races was during the 10K, we were running and we were running around the boardwalk and we were running by some of the hotels and all we could smell was bacon, but there was no bacon stop. And it wasn't just me. There were a couple of people going, do you smell bacon? I smell bacon. And we kept waiting for somebody to be there with a plate of bacon and there was nobody handing out bacon. It was very rough and cruel that early in the morning to have the smell of bacon, but no bacon available.
Yes. Cruel torture. So talk maybe a little bit about, you know, we've referenced it several times now that, you know, the half marathon was canceled. Basically, we got, you know, weird rain is what I'll call it on Friday night. It was exceptionally cold. And my sense was that we were maybe like 3 degrees at most above freezing rain. Am I over or underestimating that? It just because I got caught in it for a little while, and I've been in freezing rain. Mm-hmm. It felt awfully close.
Yeah, it was pretty chilly. I mean, I think the main problem and the reason why they canceled the half, it was really cold. Sunday morning was definitely pretty close to freezing, but Saturday, we actually got caught in the storm right as we were going to the Magic Kingdom. But they were calling for a lot of thunderstorms overnight. And the best thing I could figure out, there was thunderstorms that morning and we saw some lightning when we were trying to go into the park. So, you know, there would have been thunders during the race itself. But one of the things we figured was if they're calling for thunderstorms overnight at, you know, 2-3 in the morning, that's when there would be some unfortunate people out there trying to set up the race course.
Right.
So our main thought was that, you know, it was safety of all those people who'd be out there trying to set everything up for the race, that couldn't be out there safely.
Right.
I think, and I mean, that rain, it was definitely, I don't know if it was quite that cold. It definitely was cooling things off because it was so cold the next day, but that was a very chilling rain to cool the temperature down that much from, I mean, the day we got there on Tuesday, it hit 80 that day. And then to go swing all the way down to barely above freezing before the full marathon was a heck of a swing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a big swing. And I think you're right. I mean, I think it had a lot to do with lightning in the area and, you know, not wanting to have the volunteers out there trying to do setup with, you know, lightning going off around them. And I think too, that, you know, right now with all that construction going on, kind of on both sides of the studios, and around Animal Kingdom still, and, you know, all around, there's some pretty major construction still going on. And I think that they're pretty restricted in terms of their ability to kind of reroute things if there are stretches that they can't run just because of the runoff patterns.
Yeah, I mean, between that and I figured, you know, since, like I said, there was lightning in the morning, if they had to try and do a delayed start, you know, could they have even modified the course to shorten it?
If they needed to.
Like if they said, okay, we have to be off by this time, I don't know that they would have been able to modify the course in a way to turn you around anywhere to say, okay, we're going to do this short course because they only had limited area to work with. Like you said, sounds like they could go, okay, well, run over to Hollywood Studios. Well, no, there's all this construction. We can't really do that there either. So
Exactly. All right. So we get to our kind of summary questions. And so the first one is, you know, you're a good example, somebody who's done multiple trips. You've done multiple trips to run Disney races. But 3 years, 5 years down the road, when you think back to Marathon Weekend 2017, what's going to be that memory that really sticks with you? That when you think about this trip, that's what's going to pop up in your head?
I mean, for me, from the race perspective, the one thing I'm going to remember most is, you know, doing that marathon, you know, had its ups and downs, and, you know, I was really strong for the first half. I met my wife in Animal Kingdom and then started to wane in Wild World of Sports and then kind of had a second win there. When I got to Epcot and I'm going around the backside of the countries, when I got to Japan, I have to admit that was one time where I got a little bit emotional because I realized how far I had come and how close I was to finishing, kind of going around Japan and looking across and seeing the spaceship Earth and seeing it right there, kind of realizing how close I was down there. To me, that's a moment that's going to stick with me because this was my first full marathon I've ever done. And just that feeling that I had as I was coming around there and seeing that and realizing how far I had just run and, you know.
Right.
You know, I mentioned Jeff Crowley plan. It was a good training plan, but I didn't, you know, I kind of fell off towards the end. So I wasn't fully trained as well as I could have been. So it was like a real accomplishment just even making it there. Being that, you know, for the completer part of me, even that was a challenge on this race. So it was that amazing feeling there. And then seeing my family in front of Electric Umbrella as I went, they were there waiting for me. So kind of, and then seeing those two moments, I'll just remember from this, from my first marathon and being dizzy, that will stick with me the whole time. And I've the other thing that I think it'll probably stick with me, you know, are the moments we mentioned of just my daughter watching that trolley show again and again and again. And the last time her just literally dancing in place to it, like our little shuffle steps forward and backwards between that and then my son's face on Nemo. Those things are going to stick with me from this trip just because of those vivid, you know, happiness of those two, you know, is the things that really stick with you as a dad.
All right. And then, you know, the last bit that we always like to wrap up with is, you know, somebody else is thinking, and the discussion was just kind of perking in the Facebook group earlier today. You know, you got another dad who's thinking about coming down to Walt Disney World to do a marathon weekend trip and to try to, you know, pull off the dopey to run all the races. What is the, you know, one or two sort of bits of advice that you think they need to hear or that you wish you had heard?
Let's see. The bits of advice to hear would be just do it. Don't think about it. Just do it. And train. That's the one thing of that practice of just doing it and getting out there and putting in any and all miles you can for something like that is what matters. So of getting there multiple days, getting out there and doing those miles and just doing it your way. So, you know, don't worry about anyone else, how anyone else is doing it, how anyone else is doing anything else. Find what works for you and do that. It's my biggest tip for anyone running, but it works. It is meaningful tenfold for something like the Dopey Challenge or just any long races. run your race. Don't worry about anyone else. Run what you can do and what you need to do and forget about everyone else. And that's how you'll have your most success there.
All right. Well, that's great advice to wrap up on, I think. Thanks, John, so much for coming on the show and sharing your experiences with us again.
Thanks for having me. I love doing it.
One little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes. What delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny